And then we're going to hear the second reading and a reflection on the gospel reading. So this celebration, again, as we come together to reflect on another year, and so the Vision Day last year, absolutely great. Over 40 of you were there. Could you give a wave if you went to the Vision Day? There's so many of you there. And what I'd like to know from you really is what's coming out, what we're working through, is does it fit with what you were putting into the Vision Day? And are we missing anything? Because that's going to be vital, because you gave a time for that day. But it was great to have so many people, and many thanks. I'll be saying again to Simon and Ali and John and Libby, but all their work. But Simon, a great work of organising that Vision Day. And it's true, isn't it? We've got such a great, great bunch of people here. People visit this church and say, amazing, the number of people who are so talented and got so much to offer and involved. So that's a great thing to celebrate today, the commitment from so many people. We said thank you last week to Simon and Ali for this, for the decoration, for the lighting. It's a church renewed, is it not? Yeah, good. It feels like that way, and so it does to me. So all that involvement and commitment. And similarly at St. John's is Tony Astor, who's managing the building now, and with Judith Packer fully involved. We're so blessed in so many ways. And it's been prayer for a long time that people will respond to vocations, and we're seeing it. We are seeing a growth in vocations here. We are now training our fifth pastoral assistant, that's Glynis Cranefield. So by the end of the year, there'll be five pastoral assistants here. It really does open up the possibilities of making sure that everybody in the village is cared for. That must be an aim, that anybody who comes to this village and lives here knows they're not on their own. And how we can do that is by, and obviously there's lots of ways that you do that anyway, by neighbourliness and friendship and so on. But the pastoral assistants have that particular role of being, making sure they stay in touch with people who may be vulnerable in some way. And we've seen the response in vocations with ordinands. I think this is probably the first, I don't want to be pejorative about females, but ordinands, but that's great. But the first male ordinand, I don't know, it was before, 50 years ago, I think, probably, was the last time that there was a male ordinand from this church. So that's a great thing that we there. And we've already had Rachel Cross go from this church, and hope and pray that Ellie Lister too is selected. And then Eco Church, it's extraordinary, is it not, that we are the second church in the diocese to have a silver award for being an Eco Church. And I hope and pray that we're recognising that this is not a side issue. It's not something that we're just doing as a kind of hobby to entertain people and give them something to do. It's actually integral, I think, to being church today. And we're going to have a deanery synod in June to encourage all the churches to get involved in this. Because are we or are we not in a climate emergency? That seems to me to be the crucial question. If not, well, we don't have to worry too much, and we can go on and, you know, just be like we've done for the last 30 years, and the situation is getting worse and worse with year on year. If it's an emergency, it's got to actually mean it affects everything that we are and do now, hasn't it? So I'm open to that debate, and we'll be looking at it in June, and one or two people in the deanery have objected to me calling it a climate emergency. So it just seems to me we need to be clarified about what's happening there, but fantastic that we have the Eco Church lead. And what a relief the finances are. So thank you to everybody who gives generously to the life of our church. There have been several years over the 21 that we've now been here where at this stage of the year we're thinking, well, if this goes on, there's no future for this church because there's a deficit and you can't run deficits as a church. All the evidence is there. Ockley lost their full-time vicar because they couldn't afford. And that's the situation. There's no money. There's no money for anybody else to pay for clergy. And so it has to come from the parishes. And what a privilege it is working with Papua Partners, isn't it? I think anything that we give is returned tenfold over. And that's the sort of promise that Jesus makes, isn't it? That if we give, we get back 10 times, not in financially, but by who we are, but what our engagement, our knowledge, our being alongside the Sosa family and the people of West Papua, absolute privilege. And then I'd also like to highlight the work in the Surrey Hills School, All Saints School it's now called. That's a great development. The school has now another Christian emphasis in the name there. And just think over the last 2 weeks, and so much of this is due to Ellie, And if Ellie is selected, we've got to work through urgently what we do about her role, because she does so much. You don't see a lot of it because it's so much of it is involved in the cookie club and in the school. But just in the last 2 weeks, there's been an Easter Paul's Day. The whole of Surry Hills School were involved in acting out, responding to the Easter story for a whole day. Super. And then last week there was the after-school Easter service that several of us were there helping with. Ellie organised. Again, there are over 80 people there, adults and children, for that. And it was such a good atmosphere and environment. And then on Thursday, the end of school Easter assembly here, again, 200 children nearly here with their staff, just hearing the Easter story again and entering into it. All of this link seems to me to be absolutely vital. So a key thing to do is always be thankful for what we have. And so there's a response here on the screen. I'm going to say the first words, and the second words are for yours. And you can enter it into a kind of Pentecostal way, if you like, and then really go for it. So we say, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
And there's more, isn't there? The ongoing life, all of you, just having this involvement in being a village church. Nothing happens unless people are here on Sunday. I really think that is the case. And at the 8:30 congregation, there were 12 of us today. But nonetheless, we would have missed something massive if that congregation had not met this morning. That's why we sustain the evening congregation, because that time of coming together for prayer for five or six people is absolutely vital for anything else that spills out into the community here in what we do and beyond to Papua and so on. So there we go. You can just see where you link in with all of that that's on the screen there. Oh, I haven't updated it. We haven't got a youth club anymore, so that needs to be updated. Well, we've got Activate on Sunday mornings and so on. So that's still going, and so there's so many things that are just going on there, and we do know that it's just the influence that a church has. Sometimes you just cannot see, well, you can't see most of it. I think, I pray God that Simon kindly referred to the magazine Leader. Pray God that will help the 2,000 people who might read it in the village, probably not that many, but those who might, it might help them just a little bit to have faith and hope when they're in grief, that there is more more beyond this life. So again, the words there are on the bottom, and I will say the first bit, and again, you can enter it. You did quite well last time, but you can give it a bit more this if you want to. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. And to you all, then, I just want to say that, to say thank you. It really is vital that your involvement and engagement, but where else do you go, though? I mean, what else would you be doing on a Sunday morning? There's nothing really as like being in a church community. But thank you all for all your involvement and commitment. And then we come to the next stage, then, about the vision. What is the vision? So all of this, so we've done quite a lot of Sundays actually on in response to the Vision Day. We know it's about children, families and youth. Imagine our church with more young people. Well, that's going well today, isn't it? There's none of them here. So something to do there. And we know it's about community. We know that that's a key part of the vision. Our church even more immersed in our community. And these are statements that came out of the Vision Day. And we know that it's about discipleship. Built on a foundation of deeper discipleship, beacons of light and fellowship. So there's the three areas of vision. That's where we are. And as I say to you earlier, if you feel that your part for the Vision Day is not there, we're not working through, please let me or Simon or John know that we can put it in. But how? How do we work through it then? How do we work through about children, families, and youth, for example? How do we do this? It may sound fairly obvious, but we talk to the parents, which actually I'm not sure that we have done enough of. So Ellie and I, last Monday night, met with three of the mums who come occasionally to our church and bring their children occasionally, and we try to work through what's happening for them and what they might need or want and how they might respond. There's something very positive come out of that, and I think we will be focusing on one Sunday a month to really engage families and children. And if the other Sundays don't work, then if we can't resource that, then we pray that that will happen in the future. But for the time being, maybe we just focus on one Sunday a month where they might all commit to that and be engaged in coming. But we also have to ensure good leadership, and so Ellie's position is clearly vital to that. And what happens there? When we need to start thinking urgently on that, certainly after May, when Ellie's selection conference comes. If she's recommended, she starts training in September, she will not be able to do the work she's doing now. That's part of the training package. You can't carry on doing what you've been doing already. So we need to work that through seriously. Is there something to do with Surrey Hills churches? We are starting to, partly with Ellie's nudge, thinking a little bit, should one of the ministers, there's three ministers for the Surrey Hills churches, should one of them have a responsibility for families and children work? Or perhaps between us, we employ a fourth minister to have that role. But all the churches, we know, we all face the same challenges, and maybe to have one minister who's working particularly at that area would be a good thing to do. And then also, as we said, with Surrey Hills All Saints School, absolutely integral, vital. There's so much potential. And similarly with Priory as well. I'm sure there is at Ashcombe. I don't know Ashcombe. But Priory is so open, being a church school, and just wants more chaplaincy, more work going on, more development of church life, church Christian life. So we have ideas, and we will pray and work through. And then about discipleship, how do we do that? Well, we know we're working through about being apprentices of Jesus and an adventure for life, and it's about developing his character, and it's about doing the work that he did, which is basically fighting sin, death, and the devil, bringing his kingdom. That's what he did, that's what he does, and that's what we need to be involved in. And that glorious quote, I think we all should have that stuck up in where we can see it every day. God became man that man may become like God, and woman become like God. That's the whole purpose of the project in Christ, that we become like God. And we know then, we've worked this through, that we're going to be doing this, working through 12 areas of apprenticeship over the next 2 years. There will be plenty of space to do other things as well. We're only going to spend 5 or 6 weeks a term on each of these areas, but we'll cover them over 2 years. And you can see that if you really want to go on in your faith in Christ, then these are the things that you need to know about and practice and grow in and be able to do. You need to be a person of prayer. You need to know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to know why we serve, why, and we need to know about eating together and gladness and generosity and all those things on there. We need to know more of and grow in together. So we have ideas on families and children. We have ideas on discipleship. Community, I'm not so sure about, actually. I'm not sure if anyone can help what this means in practice, then do let us know if there's anything specific to do. But clearly, it's about relationship, relationship, relationship. Jens Menkel from the diocese did the 5-week course with us last autumn. And to be honest, I got a little bit impatient with it and with courses generally, because it seems to me that all it comes down to is this: love God and love your neighbour. And that's all you can do. That's all it is, just getting on with it. Love God, love your neighbour. And that's relationship, relationship, to form those relationships. And if we don't, that's a diminishing of our humanity if we're not relating to our neighbours and not relating to our friends. But it's never going to be anything to share if we don't have that sort of relationship going on. So that's a diagram that's knocking around a bit at the moment. So some of those relationships going on, they're all about sharing life and sharing faith. They may or may not come to the centre. They may or may not come into the centre of being the church gathering together, which is vital, but it may not happen. So there may be relationships going on at Surrey Hills School with work there, but it may not actually mean you get any impact at all on a Sunday morning. So, for example, Bookham have recently employed a full-time youth worker across the churches in Bookham, and they've got things going on of youth cafe drop-ins. They've got 12 young people doing an Alpha course and so on. Lots of things going on. And I asked Alan, the vicar there, and what about Sundays? He said it's had no impact whatsoever on Sunday attendance of young people. And that seems to be a story that I'm hearing from vicars around the diocese, really, to do that kind of involvement, but it won't necessarily, sadly, because this is crucial, but it may not have impact, but nonetheless is has to be good to do that. So relationships to be formed, and to remind you, we did this a few weeks ago in a Sunday morning, but how you work it through isn't up to you. And please don't feel guilty or weighed down or anything. Just be normal. Be normal. That's an idea for Christians, isn't it? Be natural. Be yourself. And just go and make those relationships with your friends and family, with your neighbours. Invite them round for the Grand National Gambling Den, which I think some people did yesterday. They do it again? Oh, no, I didn't do that this year. All right. But do that sort of thing of neighbourliness and friendship. And at work, I'd love to know that if there are people at work who are really engaging with their colleagues and want to develop ministry there, then all we will do with you is pray for you, and I will never ask you to do anything here, because that is your ministry. That is where you are involved, and that's what you need to do to be there. Or it could be a social club, a hobby, but it's sharing your life, you're sharing your faith with other people. You have something to give to others. You have a faith to share. And then there is something about church together, and we're still not working this through, and partly because I'm too busy, to be honest, but it's about how do we engage with people generally? How do we do the visiting? How do we do the following up? How do we did some lovely street visiting a few years ago. It's all very positive, but how do we work on that? And that's something that the church together can do. And so the summary there about vision is children, families, youth, discipleship, community, and to pray and pray again through all of this, and to ask God, what is my vocation? Where do I fit in all of this? Not all of you are going to be vicars, fairly obviously, but you've all got a vocation to do something, some role. Some of you more, you may be vicars or whatever, but what is your role? What is your vocation? And it comes back to working through your own apprenticeship of Jesus. Then, as you look forward, always for the church, it's this there, isn't it? The challenges and opportunities. So if we stay as we are, if we always do what we've done forever, then you stay in a small bowl, and eventually the oxygen runs out, and you're going to die anyway. So you might as well make a leap for it. And it may go horribly wrong, but on the other hand, it could be very, very positive. And that is the only way, actually, that you will survive. The church will survive by making a leap forward. And so what does that mean? You know, does it mean about being bold? 30 people over here, would we commit so much money to employ a full-time families minister? That could be a bold move. And it may be bold because you may not see necessarily direct fruit from it. But would we do that? Would we think about if the families tell us we need to turn this church around so that the children can have more activity space in it, would we be prepared to do that? Or would we say that actually, no, our 10-15 service has to stay as it is because we like it as it is, and we don't want children taking the place over and so on. We to think through what it means to take the opportunities is something to be open to. And then the summary, as always, at the end of this bit, is just pray. And I've updated it each year now. So pray to 2029, 10 years on, 50 years on, 2069. Pray that the church will grow in faith. And fast. Fasting should be part of our life, our spiritual life. That there will be numbers attending worship. We won't have to accept decline. Numbers of people in home groups, going forward for ordination, serving in all sorts of ways, and growing in income, growing in making disciples, and growing in enjoying abundance of life in Christ. That to be the prayer. And then also that you will grow. Will you grow over this coming year as an apprentice of Jesus? Will you have a sense of loving God with a bit more of all that you are, being transformed by the Holy Spirit into the likeness of Christ? Will it? Then you'll know that's happening because you're wanting to pray. It happens even to because we're all on a journey. I used to not, on a day off on a Friday, I used to think, oh, I don't have to do the morning prayer now anymore because I'm a day off. I can have a nice, relaxed morning. I can't do that anymore. I feel I have to pray. I feel I have to see, feel day, the day feels not right if there's not prayer. So all of us to grow in our prayer life and in worship, in service, in study, enjoying our faith more, being able to tell others, sharing our lives, giving cheerfully and sacrificially, loving neighbour as self, enjoying abundance of life in Christ. Simply Jesus, his life, his kingdom is what we need to come to in a moment, because that is where it comes down to. This church, any church, will be thrive in the future if we love Christ, if we love Jesus. And to reflect on that a bit more, we're going to hear the second reading from the gospel. Somebody has that reading? Yep.